of Absalom's death. The latter part of it says, why have you run, my son, seeing that you will have no reward for the news? In other words, he was running to share this news with David, and it wasn't good news. But the way that it's used is, why are you making haste to come to go tell David about this news when it's not really a message of good news? Okay. One other time that the word is used in 2 Samuel chapter 27. Flip over a couple of more pages, chapter 27. I think this is the story of the lepers. Chapter 18, verse 27. I'm sorry. Go back to chapter 18. Just a couple more verses down. This is not the one about the four lepers. The one about the four lepers is 2 Kings 7:9. We'll look at that one in a moment. But also, again, here in verse 27, it's used again. He is a good man and comes with good news. So he assumed that the guy that was making haste was coming was bringing good news. Of course, ultimately, it wasn't. But just the wording there is used as good news. And if you flip over a couple of books to 2 Kings chapter 7. This is the one about the four lepers who they're starving to death, and they think if we just go to the Syrians, and you know, they're going to do one of two things. I mean, we're going to be here and we're going to die, so if we go to the Syrians, we might as well just give ourselves up, because they may decide to kill us. But then again, if they don't, they may feed us and we may live. So we're going to die here, so let's just go to the Syrians, because if they kill us, then it's kind of what we're going to get here, but they may have some mercy and we may live, okay? Now, if you remember the story, what did God do in this particular setting in chapter 7 for the Syrians? Made the sound of a big army coming, right? And what did the Syrians do? Fled. They dropped. They just left everything right in its place. I mean, tents are still pitched, right? The armor, the swords, their weapons, all the food, all still intact. So these four lepers, they wander into camp, and they're thinking that they're going to turn themselves over. Well, when they get there, no one's there, right? You might remember that. And so they get there. So what do? Start filling their bellies. They start eating, because the Syrians got, when God made that happen, they thought a big army was coming. Well, the Syrians fled. Well, then these four lepers get there and they're thinking, well, let's just have a little meal real quick. You know, we're starving to death. Works out great for them. I think if I remember correctly, they even hide some of the spoils, thinking, you know, if we'll just hide some of this, we'll come back and get it. But in 2 Kings 7, verse 9 is where the word is actually used. And they said to one another, we're not doing right. They realized, wait a minute, we need to be going and telling the king what's happening. Instead of filling our bellies and hiding the loot, you know, we need to be going and doing what. So they realized they're not doing right. This day is a day of good news. There's our word. If we are silent and wait till morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, let us come and go and tell the king's household. Now, you might remember the king says, now, wait a minute, it sounds a little bit like a trap. But he eventually sends people to go, and they come back and they tell him exactly what happens. And then they go to the camp, and then they get everything and make out pretty good. And so, but it's a day of good news. There's a spin on that lesson. We've got this good news, and instead of making haste to go tell people about it, like in this case telling the king, we're kind of sitting here and enjoying all the spoils, and we're keeping the message to ourselves. And these four guys, they come to the conclusion, wait a minute, we're not doing right. This is really a day of good news. Let us run back and tell it. And we always, every day, have a day of good news. I don't want to get too technical here, but the Hebrew, so the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, correct? Okay. So there's a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. right? Like we have an English translation of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Old Testament Hebrew, the New Testament Greek. What is that Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament? What do we call that? Septuagint, okay? And it's represented by LXX, okay? That's Roman numerals, right? The Septuagint was just Koine Greek. It was common Greek, just a common Greek language. When you look at some of these places in the Old Testament Hebrew, as they're translated into this New Testament, or translated into Greek, then that word that's used that we mentioned a few moments ago, that word in the Greek is euangelion. Euangelion. Okay? That's the English word gospel. We call it that. Our English translation is gospel. But the Greek word is euangelion. And it carries the same connotation. It's bringing this idea of good news. Oftentimes when people would go into battle and they would claim victory, they would send a delegate back. They would send them to make haste and to come back and to tell the people the message of good news, right? Victory has been claimed. And so that's the word euangelion. That's the Greek word for good news that we call good news that we see in the Hebrew. Tidings, good tidings. Okay, so Luke chapter two in the New Testament, about verse 10. You remember, in the narrative of Jesus, right? You remember those angels? Is it the angels that come to the shepherds, and what do they bring? Good tidings of great joy, okay? So that word, as you open the pages of the New Testament, and the New Testament's written in Greek, you have that euangelion, and that's Luke chapter 2 is one of the places where we see that word used, and it refers to good tidings of great joy. The ESV has it translated "good news of great joy." So, Sister Phyllis, what version do you have? Do you have New King James or something? Oh, but it says "good tidings." So many of your versions might say "good." My New King James says "good tidings." Okay, I thought that's why what you might have. But is our class about over? Is that why you're standing there? We're still going, Mark. He tells me class is up. Okay, so let me close this way. Let me say, this word good news, the core of the good news is 1 Corinthians 15. What's the core of the good news about Jesus Christ? What is it? That Jesus died, that He was buried, and that He arose again. That's good news for us. That's that message of victory that is brought to us. Again, think about that for just a moment. We don't have to die for our sins. We have one who did. That's good news. That's grace. Paul says that I want to preach to you the gospel, which I preached to you before. You received it. You took your stand in it. I want to share it again. And that there he explains it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15. That's the core of the good news in a nutshell. All right. We didn't get very far today. We'll move on to the next word next week.